Now, this session, I tried to think of something to go along with 30 years. I always like to go with the theme. And when I realized that 30 years is the pearl, I said, okay, we'll go with the pearl. 25, you know, silver. 50 is the golden time. So we're going to talk about today the pearl of great price. Now, first of all, somebody had on pearls this morning. Now, I want to ask you, you think these are real or imitation? Oh, I tried to count them because if they were real, they would cost thousands of dollars a piece. I tried to count them, then lost count this morning. How rich I would be if these were real pearls. Several years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class in Fort Myers, Florida, and loved the class, and they gave me a set, and these are authentic. At least I even have the card that says they're cultured, and it's got the number. They're not real either, because one real pearl would cost thousands of dollars. These are cultured, which means that they have been produced with oysters that is a business for someone. I even have the earrings to go with them. Down on my table there are pearls, but they're not real either. They're fake and they're imitation. So today we're going to talk about, is it cultured? Is it cultured? Is it fake? Is it imitation? There was a wealthy woman, and she wanted her portrait painted. And so she said to the artist, okay, now I want you to put real pearls around my neck, and I want you to put a diamond ring on my finger. I want a Rolex watch, I want an emerald bracelet, and I want a ruby brooch. And he said, lady, you don't have any of those on. She said, no. But she said, I'm sure as soon as I die, my husband's going to remarry. And I want her to go crazy looking for all of those things. Now, Matthew 13 tells us in verses 45 and 46. It tells us, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great price, he went away and he sold everything he had and bought it. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and everyone in this room. Father, we ask you to melt us, to mold us, to fill us, and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. In Jesus' name, amen. So on your outlines, let us read our scripture together, taken from 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So on your outline, the first thing is the pearl of great price that we're going to discuss here today is heaven. Heaven is the pearl of great price. Now folks, we're not older, we're just getting closer home, right? I love the story. I love true grandma stories. I was speaking at a mother and daughter banquet this past month, and a lady who introduced me, she said, I've got to tell you a grandma story. She said, this lady is a grandma, so I need to tell you a true grandma story. She said, I had my 4-year-old sitting on my lap, and I was reading her the story of Noah. And she said, when we got through, "Well, Grandma, were you on the ark?" And she said, "Oh, no, honey, I wasn't on the ark." And then she thought for a little while, and then she said, "Well, if you weren't on the ark, how come you didn't drown?" I love that. Now, Sarah was the new drama that I created in 2013. And I had read Sarah before, but I didn't like her. And so I ended up doing Hagar. But this year, at Our Ladies' Day, I always premiere my newest drama in Seymour, Indiana. And my daughter, who is in charge of that, she said, "I want you to do Sarah." I said, "I don't like her." But she said, "No, I want you to do her." Then I began to research. Sarah was the first woman mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11. And as I read the other characters, and by the way, I did like her after I studied Sarah. And as I was going through Hebrews 11, I found a man that we're going to discuss today. His name is Samson. That Samson is mentioned in Hebrews 11. And I hope you'll get some pearls today from how we're going to discuss. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the 13th chapter of Judges. And we're going to follow this story. It's a story of Samson. Now, I want you to find some real pearls from this man's story for your life. Do you think if I would retitle this workshop, it would be Finishing Well? Our goal is heaven, and we want to finish well. Now, who do you think of when you think of Samson and Delilah? And what do you think when you think of Samson? His what?
Hair.
Oh, yeah. Now, first of all, I want to say to you that he was not a man with biceps. You remember the little cards we used to get in Sunday school class, and they'd show these big biceps and the muscles of Samson? Well, no, he really wasn't, because no one knew where his strength came from. Now, Samson was strong on the outside, but oh my goodness, he had no control inside. And Samson really is a lot like me. You know, I struggle about getting even and getting revenge. And I all struggle with temptation. And I think there's a little bit of Samson in all of us, and a whole lot of Samson in most of us. The one thing I want you to get is that sin takes you further than you want to go. Now, will you look at the 13th chapter, the first verse? "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. I want to stop there for a moment, folks, because America is due a whipping. And all the things that go on today that have lured from the time we were young, the morals, abortion, homosexuality, a lot of states now have the same-sex marriage. That doesn't make it right, but they do. Just this past week in Indiana, there is a high school in Indiana that the principal let a bisexual boy go into the girls' bathroom. Now listen, folks, we are due a whipping. Cal Thomas, who is a newspaper columnist, I love his writings, and he wrote an article this Sunday in the Knoxville paper. And many papers will not let Cal Thomas write anymore, but he's excellent and he's right on. And he was writing about the Michael Sams of the National Football League. And how, if you don't agree with that, and he said on ESPN, he was kissing his boyfriend. And one of the coaches of the Miami Dolphins, he tweeted on his website, "That's horrible. That's horrible. Oh my goodness, that's terrible." And then, you know what? He got fired. That's where we're living, folks. And the Dolphins coach, Joe Phillips, called Jones' comments inappropriate and unacceptable. And Jones was issued a statement that read it has been written by the lawyer apologizing for his inappropriate tweet and taking full responsibility for his command. What's happened, folks? Tim Tebow. I had copied this some time ago, but Cal Thomas mentions it again. He said, Tebow is a religious figure in a country that is uncomfortable about talking about religion. And then he goes on to say, actually, this is what they said when he got fired, when he got cut from the Broncos. Oh, I bet this makes the baby Jesus weep. Tim should have prayed more. Another one. Hey, Tim, are you getting the message now? Nothing fails like prayer. Another one. We're all going to hell, and we're excited about it. Don't be jealous, Tim. Now, where is your God now? Folks, we're due a whipping. And notice what it says in 13:1. It says, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord did what? He delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for how long? 40 years. Now, the 13th chapter tells us about the miraculous birth of Samson. And he says he, of course, we were all set apart, it says. He was set apart. He took a Nazarite vow. Now, a Nazarite vow, if you want to study that, is found in Numbers, the 6th chapter sometimes. And it actually was a voluntary thing. There were many things that weren't wrong with a Nazarite vow, like you couldn't eat grapes, or you couldn't drink grape juice, or you couldn't have anything fermented, or raisins. And you couldn't even go near a vineyard. And you could not go near a dead body. And of course, you couldn't cut your hair. We know, we remember his long hair. Now, Judges 13:25, after his birth, it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Now, the thing of it is, the Lord was with him, but oh, he made some terrible mistakes. Now, let's go to chapter 14. Now, we start with chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw there a young Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now, get her for me. Well, I just slapped him upside the head. Little spoiled brat, wouldn't you say? And his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all your people? Must you go to an uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife? Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Now, look at verse 4, and don't mistake this. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Now, that does not mean that this was God's will, because this was out of God's will in this relationship. And what that verse says is that God will let us, if we determine to do what we want, will let us, of course, go ahead and do it. I love the story of Balaam back in Numbers. Remember, Balaam was not going to go. They said, we can't go. This was attacking the Moabites. And he said, you go, you're a sorcerer, and you go prophesy against Israel. And Balaam says, I can't do it. God said, don't go. And then the king says, just sends him a blank check. And he said, well, here it is. Then Balaam says, God already said, don't do it. And Balaam remember, Balaam said, well, let me kind of reconsider this. And Balaam goes, but the scripture says in Numbers 22, and God was very angry. Folks, God didn't change his mind. Balaam changed his mind. And he's doing something out of the will of God that he should not be doing, going down to get this woman. Now, look at verse 5 of this chapter. Notice what he says. Samson went to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyard, stop. Why am I saying stop? He went near the vineyards. He's going against his commitment. He had made his commitment to God. He should not have been at the vineyard. This is actually the place of temptation, folks. And suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Okay, folks, we know who the lion is. Peter tells us it's a roaring lion, roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And this is his place of temptation. And he tears this apart. And folks, let me tell you something. As senior saints, and most of us are, the lion wants to devour you. He's already got everybody else. He's already got people in the media. He's already got everybody. You know what? He wants to devour you. He's looking for you to devour. And not to remain faithful, you can finish well and get to heaven. And the Spirit of the Lord, we know who defeats the lion, folks. It's not anybody else but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. And he tore this lion apart, but he didn't tell his father and mother. That's strange. Well, that's like scoring a touchdown at the Super Bowl. But he didn't tell his father and his mother. And then he went down and he talked for a moment and he liked her. Well, he'd already seen her. Now he likes her. He's some time later when he went back, now he's getting ready to marry her. Oh my, okay. Now, notice what he says. Sometime later he went back to marry her. He turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out of his hands and he ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Okay, folks. Now we know he should not be near a dead body. So we know why here he didn't tell his parents. But why did he eat that honey? He knew it was in a dead body. He shouldn't have. Why? Tasted good. And you know what? If I could tell you, it's this deeply, deeply theological. You know why he ate it? Because it was sweet. I have never in my life seen as much sexual sin as there is in the church today. I mean it. I read an article not too long ago of all the sexual sin in our nursing homes. Now listen, folks, let me tell you something. You're going to get heaven. You're going to hit the goal. You're going to finish well. And he ate it because he's sweet. And listen, sex within God's bounds is wonderful, but outside of it, it is forbidden. And you see, honey would have been fine in any other time. And he gave his folks some. Well, of course, he didn't tell them. He got it out of a dead body. But again, I want you to understand that finishing well, you've got to keep your guard on because the lion wants you and he wants to eat you alive and he doesn't want the goal of heaven that you're after. Now his father, verse 10, went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary. Now this is the bachelor party for the bridegroom. And when he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Now let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, okay? It's a bet. Go for it, he replied. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. And we say, hey, I know that. I know that riddle. Well, of course we know. God already told us. We know it's the lion and we know it's the honey. For 3 days they could not give the answer. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, coach your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Now I think that's something to think about, don't you? Yeah, I would too. Did you invite us to rob you? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him sobbing, you hate me, you don't really love me, you've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. Well, he said, I haven't even explained it to my father and mother. Oops. What he's saying here, I've told my father and mother, they're more important than you. Get a life, Sam. So, why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days. This is his wife. And she cries the whole 7 days. So on the seventh day, she finally told her, because she continued to press him. She, in turn, explained the riddles to her people. Before sunset, on the seventh day, the men of the town said, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my... Oh, men, let me give you a clue. Don't call her a heifer. You've got to culturize things here, folks. You got to culturize things a little bit here. But in fact, like in the Song of Solomon, he says she has her nose is like a tower. Well, no, I don't think so. But he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have got this. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. And what does he do? He goes down and he kills 30 men. But after all, he's got to have 30 garments, so he kills 30. Now, how do you explain the life of Samson and power? Well, let me give you a clue right here, because I'm going to use it several times. The hammer had not yet come down. The hammer had not yet come down. It's like when Jimmy Swaggart, many of you remember that scandal. Jimmy Swaggart was having sexual relationship outside of marriage for many, many, many months, maybe years, who knows. And yet he was preaching and people were being saved. They were coming to the Lord in a thousand. How do you explain that? Same way you explain this. The hammer, the grace of God, had not yet come down. When we say the hammer, I mean the grace of God. Now, chapter 15. Later on, now we don't know how long, the time of wheat harvest, Samson took his young goat. Well, there's another cultural thing. Guys, don't take a goat. Take candy or flowers. And he went to visit his wife, and he said, I'm going to my wife's room. Well, he's going to have the honeymoon. He hadn't had his honeymoon yet. But her father would not let her go in. I was so sure you thoroughly hated her, he said, that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Now, let me summarize these next verses. Samson said, okay, now I can get even. I want you to know that I have a reason. And I'm going to get even. And what he goes out is he goes out and catches 300 foxes. Now, my father was a hunter. I mean, tell you, honey, when you catch 300 foxes, 300 foxes, he ties their tails together and he puts a torch And between the tails, well, of course the foxes go ballistic. Can you imagine? They burn all their grain, their vineyards down. 300 of them. Can you imagine this? Now, his own people in this chapter are against him. They said, man, you're causing us a lot of trouble. Now, let me tell you something. Remember, Samson is their judge of his people. And they said, you know, we've got to hand you over, Samson. We can't let you do this. You're causing us a lot of trouble. And Samson said, okay, just tie me up with new strings, new cords that have never been used. And they do, and of course he just brings them off like that. Now, remember, Samson is his president. They tie him up. And verse 14, notice, says, and the Spirit of the Lord, there it is again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and the ropes of his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hand. Now, what does he do? He finds a fresh bone, jawbone of a donkey. And what he does here, he kills 1,000 men. And he, of course, is, notice back up on your outline, I've used 1 John 2:16. This was Samson. He had the lust of the flesh, which we've talked about, the lust of the eye, and now the pride of life. And he kills 1,000 men with a fresh jawbone of a donkey, which was a no-no of his commitment. He was not to go near a dead body. And he kills 1,000. Now, I wish I could end the story here at the last verse of 15. Will you look at it? I think sometimes when we study the scripture, we don't realize the age of Samson, that he was just a young whippersnapper. And notice when he says, Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Pride. Samson's proud. He's got the strength from the Lord, and he's not using it for the Lord. He's using it for the world. When I was growing up, my granny used to say to me, God has given you a talent, and don't you dare use it for anything but the Lord. And I'll be very honest. In my teenage years, I really wanted to use the music that God had given me for the world, but I couldn't get away from what my granny had said to me. Don't you dare use it for the world. Look at verse 20. Samson led Israel for how long?
20 years.
I wish it had ended there. I mean, if he'd gone back and he ruled in his people and he was judged. Now let's go to 16. One day Samson went to Gaza. Uh-oh. Captive of the Philistines. And who does he see now? He sees a prostitute. Oh my goodness. Now, first of all, he's going out of town, so nobody's going to know, right? That's one of the biggest lies from the pit of hell. I was coming home up in the Cincinnati area some time ago, and I was sleepy, and I thought, man, I just need a cup of coffee. I got to get something because I've got to be home tonight. So I pulled into this restaurant. Always go where it's well lit. I never, when I'm traveling by myself, I never go to any restaurant that's not well lit late at night. And I walked into the restaurant, and there was an elder from our church with another woman.
Oh.
Be sure your sins will find you out. I mean, think about, they had no idea. I mean, they were at this restaurant. They were miles away from home. But folks, it's a lie from the pit of hell. No one will know. And he goes down to this prostitute. Now, it's interesting here that he goes into Philistine territory and he should have not been there. And they say, okay, we're going to get him. We're going to get this boy. We'll wait until morning. Well, Samson does not wait till morning. He has the pleasure of the prostitute. And he gets up in the middle of the night. And what does he do? Oh, my goodness. Back up to, Samson says, we'll wait with him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we'll kill him. Verse 3, but Samson lay there only until the middle night. When he got up, he took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulder and carried them to the top of a hill that faced Hebron. Okay. All right. Scholars believe that this weighed several thousands of pounds. Iron. He puts it on his shoulder. He carries it uphill 38 miles to Hebron. Okay. All right. Now, again, the power of God is still on him. He was doing out of a relationship with a woman he should not have been at all. And here, God, the power of God is still upon him. Now, sometime later, verse 4 tells us he fell in love. Now, this is the first time we see the word love. He just wanted this first woman, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. He fell in love, out of another relationship, folks, out of the will of God, with a woman of the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Now, this was a lot of loot. I mean, here we probably would have been in the millions of dollars in our time. And I can tell you this, Delilah loved money more than she loved Samson. All right, now we know the whole story here of chapter 16. And you tell me, I mean, you know, this is a relationship. And she says, honey, tell me the secret of your great strength and how tie up and subdue. That's why I think that he didn't have biceps. He didn't look like anything that was strong. And Samson said, well, if anyone ties me to 7 fresh thongs that have been dried, I become as weak as any man. Then the ruler of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had been dried, and she tied them with them. The men hidden in the room, she called to them, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Now, listen, one time would have been enough. I mean, Samson's pretty stupid here. But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, you made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now. Tell me how you can be tied. He said, and he's toying with her, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes, never been used, I become as weak as any other man. So Delilah does it again. New ropes, tied him, then with men hidden in the room, she calls, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Now, hey, you fool me once, but don't fool me twice. Well, here's twice. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as they were threaded. Delilah then said, Samson, until now you have been making a fool of me. Oh, my. Can't you see the tears? You're lying to me. Tell me how to be tied. Now, this, folks, all I can say is he's a deep sleeper. If you were to weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'd become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, here it is again, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pins. All I can say is, ouch. Can you imagine? And then Verse 15, I can see the tears. How can you say you love me when you won't confide and make a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength? With such nagging, she prodded him day after day, and he should have been back ruling his people, and here he is down in the Philistine territory with Delilah. Another relationship out of the will of God. And so he told her, he said, I've been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. Then Delilah saw that he had told her everything. She sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back just one more time. One more time. I got him. He's told me everything. So they came. And of course, verse 19, having put him to sleep on her lap. Can't you see? I wonder if she had Somnex, what she had. That, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off. Can you imagine sleeping through, you men, shaving off all your hair? 7 braids of his hair, and he began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Hammer has come down. God's grace is exhausted. As I said to you as America, God's grace is going to be exhausted. If there's anyone living in sin, say, well, God hasn't repaid me. No, it's because of God's grace. But his strength had left him, and she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. We know what the Philistines do. They seize him. And folks, they put out his eyes. They put him to grinding. They make fun of him. They bring him before all of those that are worshiping Dagon. Over and over. You think he had time to think about what he'd done? You think his pride was still there? Of course not. And then, towards the close, they have a feast of Dagon, and they have thousands, it says thousands of people were on the roof, not only in the arena, but all over. And notice verse 25, they're going to make a sport with him. But while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of prison, and he performed for them. Can you imagine? And before it comes to the verse, it says his hair began to grow out. I think this was a time of repentance. Had to be, or he would not have been mentioned in the book of Hebrews. It says his hair began to grow out, and he said to the servant, after they've already made fun of him, he said, you let me put my hands to the pillars of this great arena. And he leads him over. Of course, he's blind. And he prays just one more time. One more time. Just one more time, Father. Verse 28. O Sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just one more time. And let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And he does. Now, Samson's birth was a pearl that was real. His death was real. Now see, that's with all of us, the pearl. Death's going to be real. I may not be here next year. I hope I am. You do too. But folks, we're all on borrowed time. Samson, it says in the scripture that Samson killed more in his death than he did alive. And I wish, will you look at Judges 15:20 again and 16:11? Both of them says that he ruled Israel for 20 years. I don't know how old Samson was. I don't know where he had a midlife crisis. But I know this, that John 1 John 2:16 says, "Be careful about the lust of your eye, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of life." There was a man came into a New York jewelry store, and he was looking for a special pearl for his wife's birthday. He was a Texas man, he was a millionaire, and money was absolutely no object. And they said, "Well, we think we can find a pink pearl that you're looking for, but it cost you $5,000. He said, "No problem, I want it." And weeks later, he came back, and he said, "I want to match it." And they said, "Well, we told you it was a rare pearl. We don't know that there's none." He said, "I tell you what, money's no object, and so I tell you, I'll pay you $25,000 for a match." Well, they began to search. I mean, they began to say, "Boy, we want to make some money." They finally found the person in Chicago who had a pink pearl, and it matched. And the store bought it for $20,000. But you know what? The store that brought it for is still waiting for the Texas millionaire to come and claim it. You know why? The man sold it back to them for 4 times that money. And, you know, we may think we're getting by with it, but I hope that you'll know that an oyster has to die so that there's a pearl given. And someone had to die for you so that you might have heaven. Real quickly, I want to go to your outline. Samson's 7 sins. First of all, he went to all the wrong places. Secondly, he was looking for all the wrong things. He, of course, number three, he rejected godly counsel. Counsel with his parents. He continued a wrong relationship, more than one. He compromised his commitment. He ignored his weakness. He would have rather take revenge than repent. Now turn your sheet over. And these are the 5 pearls that Samson should have chosen. Number one, acknowledge. Sorry. There it is. Acknowledge fatal flaws. And we don't have time for the scriptures. The second one is admit that I need help. The third is avoid temptation. Ask for help. And assimilate God's truth in your life. I want to close with the last story in my book. The blind hymner Fanny Crosby sang for a chorus, the chorus, "Someday the Silver Cord Will Break." She sang this song when she felt sorry for herself. If she got lost, got on the wrong train, or stumbled and fell, Fanny would say, "I just stop long enough to sing and cry, then dry my tears and go on." Remember, she was blind, and she sang, "I shall see him face to face and tell my story saved by grace. And I, Fanny Jane, shall see him face to face and tell my story saved by grace." Fanny said, "It won't be long now until I see him. And I too know it will not be long for me." And I close with Don Wurtzen's chorus and think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our goal towards heaven, Will you break our heart over what breaks yours? In Jesus' name, amen.